You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle. Well, welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, the 22nd of February.
Yes.
Welcome to you. Wow. It's been quite a while since you've actually heard our voices that weren't flashes from the past or completely missing from the airwaves altogether.
But we're here now.
But we're here now. We are here now. Wow. Our whole house has been sick. And
it
not,
has.
And this time, I mean, I think every winter you've heard from us that someone's sick or everyone's sick or whatever. It's been worse this time around because it has included pets and cars.
Yes, it has. Pets of all kinds.
Regale us. Will you? Regale us.
Okay. Well, Sydney, you will recall our beagle has had bladder stones in the past. Well, we realized a month or two ago that there was a possibility they were coming back. So urine samples, change of food, not too complicated. But then Bella's anal gland, which is so much fun to say.
Ooh, we should have bleeped that.
Ruptured, also fun to say. but really, really disgusting.
Yeah.
And you don't need any more details than that.
Uncomfortable for her, no doubt.
So many trips to the vet, irrigating, antibiotics, giving her pills, more trips to the vet, millions of dollars later.
No, not millions of dollars later, but we were close because when I first took her, we had no idea. We just thought she had some sort of a allergic reaction or something that was bothering her. And the vet kind of went, whoa. And he said, I hate to break this to you, but if this doesn't heal well on its own, this will be putting her under, so a general anesthetic, which is expensive, and surgery to repair the gland, which is also expensive.
So luckily it healed on its own.
Yes, I just about blacked out. And then our van has been leaking transmission fluid. Everything's leaking, I think.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Yep, Sydney was leaking urine.
Careful. The van has been leaking transmission fluid, which is never a good thing.
No, not transmission. Power steering.
Power steering fluid, which is never a good thing. So we were in denial.
We were just filling it and not worrying about it.
Yeah, because money is tighter than we would like right now. So here we are, and we're trying to do this. Anyway, it was getting worse, and it was to the point where we thought, well, we should probably get our garage guy, our mechanic, to look at it. We have a guy, and we inherited that guy from my dad, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we took it to our guy, and our guy phoned me and said, oh, yeah, it's the rack and pinion, which is pretty much the major part of power steering on a vehicle. And he said it's also a power steering hose. Not the pump, fortunately, but it might as well have been. So he said it's about a 4.5 hour repair job. And the part is about $250. He said you're probably looking at around $900. And
yep.
I completely trust these guys. They've never tried to snow us. If anything, they've been too good to us over the years and have not charged us for things around the edges or whatever to make it easier on us. But anyway, so it's about $900. And I just laughed to myself after I woke up. And we don't really have a choice because we use it for transporting day home kids and our own kids and whatever. And my car is parked away from home pretty much all day. So we don't have a lot of choice. So yeah, it was $950-something. So there you go.
And so then you've been on antibiotics because you had
sinus infection of all things.
Connor's been sick and home from school. Not so much more recently, but like in the last month.
You've been kind of fighting flu of some kind or whatever.
So, yeah.
And now also, just as everything kind of gets better, we're starting to head into busy dance competition season for Emily.
Yes.
So we're going to Banff. We're going to Banff, which will be nice, a few days. And then she's got, a dance exam, and she's got competitions, about four different competitions back-to-back. And they're big competitions. Dance groups come from all over the province, and outside the province even, I think, to compete in some of these, and they're a big deal. And usually the dance school that Emily goes to does very, very well. They get lots of gold medals. So, but, you know, as a result, these kids are very busy and they're doing a lot of practicing and a lot of rehearsing. And the choreography at our school is always fantastic. So
that's fun to watch.
Not that I've danced in any of these numbers, mind you. But
no.
The offer still stands.
Yes.
Offer still stands. So let's... That's about enough of that, I think.
That's why we haven't been around.
Yeah, we're just...
So, just so you know, we weren't playing hooky for no reason at all. We were busy.
We weren't lurking.
Oh, and then we also have sick fish, by the way.
Yes.
And aside from the one that I washed down the sink by accident.
Yeah, Michelle accidentally caught a fish in the net while she was cleaning the tank the other night, and I heard this from downstairs. No! And I came downstairs.
Oh, crap.
I came downstairs and she had sent the fish on its merry way.
My poor little baby guppy that I loved.
Oh,
he's
well.
Gone. But we got a new one, which gave the other one ick. So now we're fighting with that.
Ick is a fish disease, if you don't know. So yeah, everything's sick.
Yep.
Every pet you got.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's move on.
Yeah.
Over into Couch Entertainment News. Well, I guess one of the big stories of the last little while, February 11th, Whitney Houston died. And that's a shocker.
In a way.
In a way, because, you know, first of all, you grew up with her, right?
Mm-hmm.
With her career as a pop star, and she was amazing at the beginning, and she just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then Bobby Brown and drugs, and that was bad.
Yeah. No.
But then all of a sudden she died. Like, that was just a shock. Not old by any means, and just wow.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting and sort of ironic, I suppose, that she died the night before the Grammy Awards were on. Because
yeah.
I think one of my biggest memories of her initial career was her performing on the Grammys.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure she had this big pink bow in her hair, and it was... Want to Dance with Somebody, I believe, was the song. And that's, like, one of my most vivid memories of her. So it's a little ironic that she died the night before the Grammys were on.
So just this past Sunday, they had her burial service and her memorial service in New Jersey. So she actually, they transported her home for it. And it was an invitation-only memorial service that was held at her childhood church in Newark, New Jersey. So... Wow. People from Stevie Wonder, Alicia Keys, R. Kelly, and CeCe Winans performed Jesus Loves Me at the service. Just a real, real sad time. And they're still not sure what happened to her, but there are prescription drug questions. But you know what? Move on from that. And she's gone. You know, that's just... remember her career and mourn the loss, because that's quite a loss indeed.
And you know, it's really too bad. She could have done so much more with her career.
Yes.
She really wasted, like, most of her life, which is really kind of sad.
I don't know. Do you think that's fair to say?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. She maybe, what, she had, like, a decade where she was sober and performing and doing good things, and then she kind of went crash and burn.
Mm.
But... that's just my opinion.
Moving on to another bit of sad news, certainly. Dame Judi Dench, the Oscar-winning actress, has recently been diagnosed with a condition called macular degeneration. And what it does is it affects your vision and you start to lose it. And, I mean, she's 77 years old, but she's certainly still very active in her career. And I was just thinking the other day when I, you know, I read this article just today, and I was thinking the fact that Daniel Craig has just been signed for 5 more Bond movies. Well, she's been playing M very successfully in these new films. And one would think she would be on for all of those as well. But, you know, what's going to happen? But she was quoted as saying, as long as there's a possibility of working, I'm not going to retire. Because if I retire, nothing will work anymore. And it's hard enough as it is. So apparently she has been... she's currently filming the 7th Bond movie, Skyfall. And 7th? That's not right. Well, that's weird. According to an article from the Daily Mirror, 7th Bond movie, Skyfall. Anyway, so she says now that she only makes out faces now if the person stands right in front of her.
Yeah, my understanding of how macular degeneration works is basically it's like if you picture your cornea as being round, which it is, of course, around the whole edges starts to get black, and then it slowly moves in and moves in and moves
in. Irises in and gone.
Until you only have a pinpoint of vision, and then eventually you lose that too.
Good Lord.
So and there's no cure, from what I understand.
Wow.
And no treatment either, I don't think. So
another quote here from her. She says, I can't read scripts anymore because of the trouble with my eyes. Someone comes in and reads them to me like telling me a story. It's usually my daughter or my agent or a friend. And actually, I like that because I sit there and imagine the story in my mind. So please, please let's have Judi Dench around for a long time still. And I mean, if she can, you know, if she can still function... and still has part of her vision. You know, obviously she's committed to keeping acting, and I don't want to see her go. So.
Yeah, hopefully if she, you know, I would imagine she's made enough of a name for herself that if she's willing to, you know, put herself out there and she has the help she needs, like I would imagine trying to hit your mark... when you can't see where you're going is a little tricky.
Could be.
But, you know, if she has an assistant or if they can figure out a way to help her hit her mark, that I would imagine that would really be the only...
big part of it.
Problem.
Anyway.
Or one of the biggest problems.
Apparently, filmmaker Andrew Stanton has slammed reports that the budget for John Carter, Disney's film that he's directing... has escalated out of control. He said, I want to go completely on record that I literally was on budget and on time the entire shoot. Disney is completely psyched that I stayed on budget and on time, that they let me have a longer reshoot. So, yeah. So there, you know, rumors and speculation tend to get out of control in Hollywood. Big shock. And so Andrew Stanton is coming out and saying, no. I was on budget and on schedule and Disney is happy. So, you know, I think we've touched on the John Carter film coming out, and it's certainly something to look forward to. It looks really exciting. Now, another interesting piece. Mr. Pattinson.
Robert.
He said that if Lionsgate proceeds with a sixth Twilight film, he likely wouldn't be able to continue to portray Edward Cullen. He said he's just getting too old. So, you know, obviously you wouldn't want to recast. You know, that was something lucky they did with the Harry Potter series, but was certainly a question all along. What if they have to recast any of these roles partway through the series? So he said he's already finished filming the final film in the saga, at least for now. But he said there's countless shots of him... I'm just looking this over quickly. He said, if Stephanie Meyer was to write another book in the series, that's what they're after here, is if she were to write another book in the series, by the time it was to be made into a film, it would be too late for him to play Edward Cullen. But who knows? Who knows?
Well, if she was going to write another book, she should have done it by now. That's what I'm saying.
Thus spake Michelle.
But whatever.
Yeah.
If she's going to make money at it, I'm sure she's going to go for it if she can.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, I mean, I'm certainly not a Twilight person, but I don't know. It's curious.
I mean, I did read them, and she wrapped it all up nicely in the last one, so.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. There'd be no reason to do another one. But you know, if they were going, I could see why she would, maybe.
Have
actually,
him in a walker.
Now that I think about it again, I can see why she might want to, but I could also see where what he's saying would then apply. So,
right.
Anyway. I don't mean to be cryptic, but...
No, that's all right. You completely lost me. Who are you again? apparently, Star Wars Phantom Menace is now number one. Thanks to the 3D re-release that just came out. You know, and the stupid part is, okay, everybody knows I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I see something of value in all of the Star Wars films. Phantom Menace is probably my least favorite for so many reasons I can't even count them. But I do like it a lot. But also, people know that I'm not a big fan of 3D, so I wouldn't necessarily rush out to see it. But to make it even more difficult, it's only showing in two theaters in our area, and they're not close to us at all. So do I really, you know, if it was Empire or Revenge of the Sith, or I would make the effort, but whatever. So thanks to its 3D re-release this month, Episode 1 Phantom Menace has now surpassed 1977 Star Wars Episode 4 A New Hope to become the highest grossing domestic release in the Star Wars franchise. Thanks to its estimated $7.9 million take this past weekend, Phantom Menace is now the number 4 domestic release of all time, according to Box Office Mojo. Avatar, Titanic, and The Dark Knight occupy the top 3 spots. So again, we're talking about all-time domestic and not worldwide or adjusted for inflation. So if you adjusted the very first original Star Wars film for inflation nowadays, I have a feeling it would still quite happily take the crown. Transformers 4 was announced about a week ago, and why? I don't know. I don't get it. Transformers 3, Dark of the Moon, I saw it. I really wanted to like it, but it went down the same road that the second one did in a lot of ways. Cheesy juvenile humor. The parent characters were back in the third one and were ridiculous. Thankfully, not in it for very long. What people have generally said is that it was way too long, and the second half was actually pretty good. So, I don't know. And Michael Bay is going to do it again. So I don't see how we're going to get away from the cheesy juvenile crap. If he could focus on the action and all that kind of stuff, I mean, nobody would argue that Michael Bay is a great action director. He's fantastic. He's bad at character development. And
well, is he also writing the scripts?
I don't know.
I wouldn't think so.
I don't think so. But anyway, and another thing they're talking about with this is they used the word reboot, where I read somewhere, but I don't think that's really accurate. But one thing I read that's interesting that I would like to see is if they took an approach of looking at the film from the Transformers point of view, not from the human point of view.
Right. That could be
interesting. So if they made it focused on Optimus and the Transformers and their fight against the Decepticons, cool. That would be cool. So
potentially.
Hopefully they do that. And the other thing, too, is there's talk that Shia LaBeouf and most of the other Tyrese Gibson and most of the other most of the other actors would not come back. So either we'd see all new actors in it with a different approach that way, or I would prefer to see more of a robot-centric approach. Anyway. One of the effects artists working on...
Question. How did 2 and 3 do in the theaters? Like, is it still making enough money to warrant a 4?
Yeah, they're making enough money. That's the sad part. Oh. Which,
you know, it's the younger viewers, right?
I guess.
Like, they're pulling in the teen crowd and the preteen crowd, probably, yeah. And they just don't know any better. They're stupid.
Oh!
Well, you know, they are in a way, though. Like,
I would say maybe their expectations are lower.
That's probably what I meant more.
More PC way of saying it.
That's a good point, yeah.
So one of the effects artists working on the Avengers is a guy who has worked on basically all of the Marvel superhero films to date, including Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, the original Hulk movie, not the Ang Lee version, but... all of these movies all along, and he says The Avengers is one of the best ones he's seen, and he's seen a rough cut of the film. So this is the character moments, the acting, a lot of the action setup that doesn't include the visual effects. And he said it's good, it's fun, it's tight, it may be the best Marvel movie yet.
Well, there you go.
And Iron Man 1 was fantastic, I think. Iron Man 2 was as good or better. So, you know, I'm excited.
I'm thinking that just the cast alone.
Oh, huge.
I mean, you have so many good actors in there.
Yep.
That doesn't necessarily always mean good things. Yep. But, As long as they're given a decent script to work with, it should, I mean, that should help. Well, that should do it.
And
right
one
there,
of the,
almost.
Yeah. And one of the comments that I read was that, is that Joss Whedon was very involved in the development of the script. And he's also the director. And he gets the Marvel characters. He gets the Marvel characters. He understands that world.
And you know, he's the right guy.
He's the right guy to take this many actors of this caliber and this many iconic characters and mash it all together in a way that works.
Well, and I think a huge thing in its favor is that there's been movies on all these characters already. So all of the setup and character development basically has been done.
A lot of it, yeah.
Except for some of the new ones who are coming in.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you can take these characters and the actors know them. They've played them. You can take them and put them in this new movie and just take off from there. You don't have to do all the exposition or the character setup or any of that. It's all been done.
Well, so, another thing this guy said in this interview I read is he said the first half of the movie probably is very character-centric. And he said it works. It doesn't bog down. It works, and it's the chemistry. Because this is an iconic team forging, right? So we're seeing the formation of this group. And...
But, you know, they can use humor, jokes, in-jokes from previous movies. You know, and it's just basically, I could see where, you know, they're introducing to each other, and but the audience knows them.
Yeah.
And so I think that's got to be huge for us. So.
Yeah. If you haven't seen the trailer yet, and you probably have, unless you live in a cabin in the forest, in which case you're not even hearing this, so never mind. Check out the trailer for Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Seth Graham, I just blanked out on his last name. His name is hyphenated.
Seth Graham something. Don't worry about it.
No, that doesn't work. He wrote Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. He wrote... He wrote Pride and Prejudice and Zombies and Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. And I think it's Seth Graham Smith, I think, but I don't know. So the trailer is amazing. It's produced by Tim Burton, is very heavily involved.
Yeah, you're right.
Seth Graham Smith. And Timur Bekmambetov, I think that's how you pronounce his last name. I hope so. I think it is. Who directed Wanted. Directed Day Watch and Night Watch, that were Russian films with subtitles. If you've seen Wanted with Angelina Jolie, fantastic. It's just a great movie. He's got an amazing eye, an amazing way of putting a film together. And the trailer is just mind-bogglingly cool. So I don't know why I hadn't read it yet, but I ran out and grabbed the book. So I'm actually about, I just started reading it yesterday and I'm over halfway through. But the book is fantastic. So if you haven't read the book, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, it's really cool. Seth Graham Smith has an amazing knack for taking a real setting and adding the fantastical to it. And you know, it's goofy when you think about it, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, Abraham Lincoln and Vampires. But he's just got a real skill for being able to weave those things together. The film's going to be great, I think. I think it looks fantastic. But it's got Rufus Sewell, Dominic Cooper, Alan Tudyk, Benjamin Walker, Mary Elizabeth Winstead. All of these fantastic actors.
I don't know who any of those are.
Joaquin Phoenix was actually in talk for a vampire role in the film, but didn't get it, I guess. So that went to Dominic Cooper. But the story is really cool. Interesting. The cinematography for the film is being done by Caleb Deschanel, who is Zoe and Emily's dad. So very
good
cool.
Good for him.
But not due in theaters until June 22nd, 2012. So Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. It looks cool. I'm just going to talk quickly. If you haven't seen...
It's going to come soon.
It will. If you haven't seen the Bourne Legacy trailer, check it out. Matt Damon has moved on. Michael Greengrass, the director of the first three films, has moved on. The concept now is Treadstone, the organization that Jason Bourne was part of and was an agent for, is And Bourne was only the tip of the iceberg on this huge organization. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a great film. So check it out if you haven't seen it. Bourne Legacy, the trailer looks really cool. So that's a bunch of random stuff. A little bit more random stuff. The River TV series. We've seen three episodes. The guys on Friday Filibuster talked about it already in more detail. But the best way I've heard it described is Survivor in Hell.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fairly accurate.
Yeah.
A lot of handheld camera, a lot of...
I wouldn't even say it's as good as Survivor.
No. I hate Survivor.
Well, we haven't watched it in years, but when we used to watch it, it was good. This is... it's a little too... It's trying too hard. It's trying too hard to be scary. It's trying too hard to be mysterious. It's trying too hard to do something that's already been done. And so it's old and annoying and boring.
Interesting. Michelle wasn't even going to give it the premiere two-part episode, but she did that, and she granted me one more, and I think you're out now, are you?
Yeah. It's just...
I don't know. I'm interested to see where it's going, but we'll see, I guess.
It's kind of hokey.
Yeah.
It really is. It's kind of B-movie-ish, if you ask me.
Well, but in a way, that's kind of what it's doing.
Is that kind of what you like about it?
Well, I just like the, I don't know, I like the mixture of the Indiana Jones exploration nature kind of part with the supernatural, what the heck is that kind of thing.
I don't know.
And the way
so
it was...
So there's rumors it may not be renewed.
Well, I had read that. I don't know if it's official.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I don't know. The real key is that that two-part episode, everybody was there. It had a huge premiere audience, and then it dropped fairly significantly for the third episode that next week. So who knows?
Basically, what it reminds me of, and I haven't even seen Blair Witch Project, but from what I understand of what Blair Witch Project is, it's basically that, only in the jungle with... a bunch of people looking for some guy rather than two students in the middle of nowhere.
Well, and
the
creator of Paranormal Activity and directed the first film, Oren Peli. Oren Peli is one of the executive producers for The River.
Yep.
And Steven Spielberg actually approached him and said, hey, let's make a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much Paranormal Activity crossed with Survivor kind of an idea. I don't know. Remains to be seen. I like stuff that's different. I'm tired of procedural drama. I'm tired of cop shows. I'm tired of doctor shows.
You know what it comes down to, though?
Tell me.
I keep saying this on, or lately I've been saying this, but we're getting old.
Yeah.
You know, to younger viewers, this is probably feeling fresh and new and exciting and woohoo.
I think it's cool.
But I think the longer you're around, the harder it is to find stuff that really captures your interest because everything just gets rehashed.
Yeah.
It might take 10 years. It might take 20 years. It might take 30 years. But once you've been around that long, it doesn't matter how long it's been, you've still seen it.
You know,
so I think that's part of the problem.
It's one of the things with this Phantom Menace 3D re-release... doing so well at the box office. There are kids who have only seen Phantom Menace on home video. So I've never seen it in the theater.
And it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, and no, where I'm going with this is I still remember seeing the first film in the theater when I was 8. I still remember it quite clearly.
Uh-huh.
I remember going to a big theater in downtown Edmonton that is no longer a theater that was... It was a big deal. I saw Predator there. I saw Aliens there. There were lineups around the block. Huge, huge, huge lineups. So, you know, I don't know. It's sad. It's sad to see these things becoming less of an event.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Maybe it's me being I've been a Star Wars fan for 40 some years now.
I was just going to say, I'm already feeling jaded. How am I going to feel 20 years from now?
There'll be no living with you.
There'll be no TV anymore, that's for sure.
We won't
want to watch anything anymore.
We'll have to build a guest house that you live in because there'll be no living with you under one roof.
I guess that's why old people take up knitting. I don't know.
you started crocheting not that long ago.
I know, so where do I go from here?
So, you just punched me.
Sorry, I didn't.
Not on purpose, but it was quite painful. I think I'm getting old. The joints are sore. I want to talk about The Adventures of Tintin, the film. It's this is old news because it's been a while, and I intended to talk about it as soon as we'd seen it, but we didn't do a show, so... Adventures of Tintin came out. Peter Jackson and Steven Spielberg, based on the books and the cartoons of Belgian artist Hergé. I've heard it pronounced Herge, but that's a total anglicized bastardization.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, a series of comic books. I remember, as a kid, taking these out from the library. They were big trade paperback kind of size, thin comics that were fantastic. They were a lot of fun to read. And it was a whole series of adventures. Every comic had a different adventure. It was a little Indiana Jones-ish. Indiana Jones and the, you know, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, the Raiders of the Lost Ark. So it was cool. It's cool to see this come out. And did it meet my childhood memories and my expectations? That inner child? Yes, I think it did. What really surprised me about it is that it's animated, done motion capture. And, you know, it always goes down the road of how real does it look? Does it look too real? Is it creepy real? Is it fake? Does it look, you know, whatever? I just found it just completely engrossing because it was stylized animation. So a lot of these characters could not really exist the way they look in the film, but the way the motion capture was done facially and physically, like for the full body mocap, it was just done so well and so beautifully. And I just thought, this technology is still really in its infancy, and you know, where are we going to be 5 years from now with films that are using this? Will we, you know, how will it have advanced? It'll be neat to see.
Well, because one of the first was that Christmas train one. Was
yes, Polar Express.
Yeah. Now, how old is that? How long ago did that come out, do you think?
Gosh.
Maybe 5 years? Six years?
Six. Yeah.
So in 5 or 6 years, it's gone from creepy and freakish to watch.
Yeah.
To, like you Very said this time, engaging. Quite a bit better. So. Yeah. I guess if it improves that much in the next 5 years, it'll.
It's not even that the motion capture and the facial capture has gotten better. It's that I don't want to see an animated face that looks exactly like a human face. I don't want to see that in animation. I don't need to see that in animation. If I want to see a believable face, I want to see a real film, not animated.
Right. Yeah. And then so, that was the problem with Polar Express.
It's always called the Uncanny Valley. It's when something is simulated but looks too real, your brain just can't handle it. It's not. Right. It's creepy. Anyway.
So you're saying that the characters in this movie didn't look real?
They
looked cartoony?
Not all of them, but some of them do. But Tintin, for example, looks quite real.
And yet it's not creepy.
Right. And I don't know why that is.
Because they've improved. It's been 5 or 6 years.
But it's not just... No, it's not just that. It's
well,
not
what
just
was that. It then?
I don't know. It's just whether it's the way the actors are approaching the roles, or I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Well,
but it's
maybe
better.
Somebody out there in radio podcast land has an answer.
The other thing that I really found surprising is it's in 3D, and I hate 3D. I resent paying extra for 3D. I resent not having a choice to see it in 2D or 3D. But this is the first film I've seen in 3D that I actually thought 3D was warranted and made a difference.
It was not even Avatar.
Okay, maybe Avatar. But it's just really cool. And if you haven't seen Tintin in 3D and you've only seen it in 2D, try and find it in 3D and see it in a theater, because it's pretty cool. Just the depth to it, and you can tell that it was shot by visionary directors, Steven Spielberg and Peter Jackson, who understand what 3D can be. It's not just that jumped out and just about poked me in the eye. There's more to it than that, and there's more to me, there's more skill. It's not a parlor trick. There's more skill to it than to know how to use 3D effectively. And this does it. John Williams' soundtrack, his score for the film, is fantastic. It's very evocative of Indiana Jones. It's very adventurous. But it's not a... I mean, at this stage in his career, John Williams has turned 80. He could be at the point where he's just recycling.
Yeah.
But this is not recycled.
No.
This is a new John Williams soundtrack that sounds like John Williams, but in a new way. He's done something new, and it's cool.
That's very awesome. Cool. Just quick note, I didn't see it.
No, Michelle didn't see it. But Connor and Emily did, so I'm going to jump quickly over to Connor and Emily talking about Tintin. So as we talk about the adventures of Tintin, I think it's a good idea to bring in our young reviewers who saw it with me as well. Mom didn't see it, but the three of us saw it. So, Connor, I think you wanted to go first.
Yes, and for this movie, I really enjoyed how each scene went from one scene to another. Like, for instance, when they're in the desert and when Tintin's friend, Captain Ahab?
Nope, Captain Haddock.
Oh, sorry.
Captain Ahab is from Moby Dick, which I'm sure you're well familiar with, Connor.
Yeah, Yeah, Captain Haddock, he remembers, and then all the sand turns into water in his memory, and then boats come out.
So, and you thought it was cool that they used that as a way to transition from different ideas in the story and different scenes.
Yeah.
But you also liked the animation a lot, right?
Yeah, the animation was cool.
Yeah.
And if I was to rate this movie,
just one second. I grew up reading the comic books. The Tintin comic books that we used to take out from the library. You have not seen any of those. So aside from having some questions at the beginning before we saw the movie about who Tintin is, what he's all about, what his backstory is a little bit, and why he's an adventurer, once you got into the story, was there anything that was confusing, or did you...
No, I kind of just got into the story.
Cool.
And I wouldn't recommend it for kids under the age of 9, which is my age.
Okay.
Why is that? Because it is a little violent and...
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you find some of it was a little bit too... Maybe might be too scary for younger kids?
Well, yeah, in some ways. And it is a little tense at some parts.
Yeah.
And if I was to rate this movie from 1 to 10, I would rate it probably 8 or 9, somewhere in there.
Wow.
Maybe.
That's great.
8, 9.5.
So you've only seen it once. You want to see it again?
I might want to see it again.
Yeah?
Possibly.
Uncle Tim went and saw it with us, too.
Yeah.
And what he and I have said since then is that we've only seen it once, and there was so much to see and so many details and so much work went into it that we'd like to see it again, because... we're pretty sure there's stuff that we missed.
Mm-hmm.
So, Emily, what did you think about it? You went as well, and Emily is 12, so she's a bit older.
Well, once again, the thing about movies...
Weird, Emily sounds like Connor. Okay, anyway, sorry.
The first time you see a movie, there's a lot of things you see, and you're looking at one character in one scene, and then when you go back and watch it again, there's a bunch of stuff there that you missed.
There's stuff that you pick up that you didn't catch the first time
and
around.
And then you're looking at a different character in the next scene, and you learn a lot more about those other characters.
So did you find the movie exciting?
Yes.
Funny in places?
Mm-hmm.
Entertaining? Mm-hmm. Suspenseful? It's all those things?
Yeah.
You like the animation?
Mm-hmm.
And the animation was all done with motion capture, so a little bit like Gollum was done in Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
So used real actors and their facial expressions to get the characters in the movie.
Mm-hmm. And it almost looked real in Tintin.
But not in a weird, creepy way. Hey?
Yeah.
It was
looked
good.
Like actually real.
Okay,
much.
And now Emily, weigh in here. What did you think of it?
I thought it was good. It wasn't what I expected at the beginning. I sort of thought it was a little bit, weird and stuff in some places.
Weird how? What
like,
do you mean?
It confused me, like, I hadn't really read any of the books, and some parts were a little weird for me, like, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, it was an odd movie. It sort of felt like the the Fantastic Mr. Fox movie.
Really?
To me, a little bit. It
kind of quirky?
Yeah, I found it a little bit weird.
By the way, the squeaking in the background is Sydney biting her dog toy, so no one be alarmed. Emily's not sitting on a whoopee cushion or beeping her giant red clown nose while she talks to me. So you thought it was a little bit weird. But did you like it overall?
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought the animation, when I first saw it, I thought those look like humans. And then, so I watched for a little while, and I was thinking, no, that's not real people.
Yeah.
It looked so real to me. It was so cool. I've never seen animation done like that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Pretty cool indeed. So, out of 10, what would you say?
I'd say probably 7 or 6 or 8.
Okay.
Around there.
6, 7, 8. Good. Well, that's good. 6 is kind of a little bit above average, and then 8 is pretty high. So, depending on the day, we might come back and ask you tomorrow, and you might say 8. The next day, you might say 6. The next day, you might say... So, Emily liked it overall, I would say.
Yes.
Would you see it again? Would you recommend it to kids?
Not to little kids. Well, not like 2-year-olds and stuff, because it's a little...
2-year-olds are a little bit too goo-goo gaga and might not... They wouldn't understand it at all.
Yeah, and stuff like older, like 5, because it's a little bit scary.
Is it?
And a little bit like...
Intense.
Intense and lots of suspense and... Okay. So it might be a little bit too much.
And you know what I've heard? I've heard that they might be making another one. What do you think of that? What do you think of that, Connor?
Yes!
Yes, Connor's excited. Do you think that's good?
Yeah, I think that would be really neat. I'd like to see another one.
Cool. Well, thanks, guys. I always appreciate it when you sit down and have a chat with the old man about stuff that we've seen together. And I really enjoyed seeing the movie with you. And I think we'll probably be buying it to watch again and again at home. And Mom hasn't seen it yet. So I think
she would
probably
show
like
it to her.
So thanks, guys. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye. See ya.
So then you can tell they liked it. They want to see it again because they're not really sure. And Tim and I have both said this, that there's so much going on, and the
Tim, your brother,
yeah, and a lot of the scenes are so dense and so multi-layered that there's just so much to see that I'm sure I missed lots. So,
and it's often that way on the big screen, especially if you're sitting too close.
Yes,
because your peripheral vision just can't take everything in.
No,
you need to be far enough away that you can catch the whole screen, and when the screen is big, and it's hard to do.
Yes,
so. And we have a tendency, often I feel, to sit too close. And then you really can't take it all in.
No.
So even seeing it on a smaller screen would probably help.
Could be. But then you
And it's not quite as overwhelming. And we're
then
loud.
Then you could also miss details as well because it's too small. But anyway. Also, I've just wrote a review of Queen, Days of Our Lives documentary. It's a fantastic documentary. There's 2 reviews on DVDverdict.com. There's one of my colleague reviewers did on the DVD version, and I did one on the Blu-ray version. So rather than just talk about the Blu-ray, I did talk about my thoughts and memories and impressions of Queen, the band, and their history, as well as my review of the Blu-ray. And I am working on a couple other Blu-ray reviews coming up, including Transformers Prime Season 1 on Blu-ray as well. And to me, I mean, you'll get this when I write the review, but to me, Transformers Prime, the movies could have and should have been as good as this series. This animated TV series is better to me by almost, I don't know, way better. The content of this one season of this series with the similar characters is way better than the 3 Transformers movies combined, to me.
Well, there you go. That's pretty high praise.
So that's been Viewed from the Couch for Wednesday, the 22nd of February, and we will catch you in approximately 2 weeks' time. So have a great couple of weeks, and hope you're all doing well and that you're getting ready for spring. And thanks for tuning in, as always, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.